Welcome to the CBS edition of Daytime Confidential, presented to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. I am your host, Luke, and with me I have my co-host, Mike. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Pretty good. It's been a while since we've done one of these. We'll be discussing the latest on Guiding Light, As the World Turns, Bold and the Beautiful, Young and the Restless, and Days of Our Lives, so stay tuned. Well, Mike, what's up first?
Not a long time. I don't know. Let's talk about the Bold and the Beautiful first.
What do you want to discuss?
What do you think? Well, actually, I was going to bring up the little revelation. Did you see Pamela when she was in the hotel room with Stephanie?
I did not see that, but I did see her today when we're recording this on a Monday. I did see her on Monday when Betty White's character called her, and all of a sudden she started referring her to going to yes, mommy, no, mommy, yes, mommy, no, mommy. It made it very, very psycho-ish.
It is psycho-ish. I mean, and I'm kind of enjoying it, actually. I wish.
Oh, I'm loving her.
Yeah, I kind of wish that they weren't showing the cracks so soon. You know, I'd kind of like to see a nice slow build to this, especially if Donna's the one throwing the blame and everybody thinks Pamela is all, you know, sweet and innocent and they'll think Donna's crazy. So this could be kind of fun for a while. I mean, if they play it out right. So.
But I don't want it to be Pamela. I would rather have Pamela be evil and stick around longer than have it be her who shoots him. I would rather have Pamela be evil and then be framing someone who she doesn't like Donna, even though she may know it's Donna's dad.
Yeah, now, isn't there a possibility, though, that this is a red herring and Pamela is just tormenting Donna just to get her kicks?
It's possible.
Because I think that would be kind of cool, too, because it just seems too obvious that it would be her. So it's one of those things that's like, well, is it one of those things where we know about it and they don't, or is this just a trick to make us think that she did it? Because either way, I'm enjoying it because she has motivation. I mean, it's not like she's a character that was just thrown on there and all of a sudden turned psycho. I mean, if you think about her history, it completely makes sense that she would resent Stephanie for getting out and having to take care of her mother for her entire life. So in a way, it kind of fits with her character. So I think it's cool. I'm really enjoying it. I haven't seen this kind of story for a while, so I like it.
Well, Nelson Bronco on TV Guide Canada recently compared Bold and the Beautiful to the Desperate Housewives of soaps, and he compared One Life to Live as the brothers and sisters, which I thought was actually a very interesting analogy, because when you think about Bold and the Beautiful, it is very campy. And one of the things that I think, and especially in this Who Shot Stephanie, is the fact that Jackie just disappeared and came back, and yet is going on as if nothing happened, basically, for all intents and purposes. And it just sort of makes you wonder if Jackie or Nick might have some involvement. I think that right now these initial characters are all big red herrings and that it will fall on either Nick, Jackie, or maybe even Jackie's assistant.
And I was wondering about the video that I can't think of the guys. Is it Jake?
I don't know anything about him, so
Okay.
It could be Jake.
Apparently, Jake and Katie were looking at a video of his camera work, and he accidentally left his camera on and caught the shooter's hand. So the hand has a ring, and it's Steven's ring, which makes me think that's another red herring that I don't know if Jake would have doctored the video so Katie would think that it was real. I can't tell if it's a left hand or a right hand. And that would be more of an indication for me to know who was left-handed or right-handed.
I hadn't thought of the left-hand or right-hand diamond dynamic before, but Hunter Tylo returned this week after being gone because of the terrible death of her son. Mm-hmm. So it was her first day back on screen. Any thoughts on that?
I actually haven't watched today's, but I'm glad she's back because there's a huge hole in that Nick storyline with the baby and Brooke. Brooke is getting way too involved in Jack's life.
Well, you knew it was going to happen.
Right, but she said she wasn't going to, so I figured she'd at least have a cooling off period, but she's gone right to
for the
jugular. Final Jeopardy. Yeah.
Well, I think part of that, though, may be because of the whole Hunter Tylo issue, because I think that they may have probably pushed it off had it not been for the fact that she had to take a leave of absence. So because of that, they had to be able to do some rewrites, which resulted in Brooke becoming a little bit more obsessive more quickly.
Right, and that makes perfect sense. I also think it's kind of cool they kind of put Bridget in there to kind of put the hose on Brooke and say, you know, you got to back off. So, and it's probably likely that Taylor will have some sort of postpartum depression storyline, which will put the two of them at odds and make it look like she can't take care of her child, which is kind of weird because Stephanie tried to do the same thing to Brooke, but Brooke's going to probably try to do that to Taylor. So.
See, I don't think this kid's going to be Taylor's for very long. Brooke always wins out on this show, and it's one of those things where she may have signed it away or whatever, but I think we're more likely to see a storyline where Hunter Tylo just can't love the child because she knows it's not hers and she knows it's Brooke. I think that that's how it's going to be. I don't think I say by the time the child is three, it's living with Brooke.
And Nick, it's possible that this is going to draw them closer because Nick really was in love with Brooke. And then she dumped him to go with Ridge, who she dumped to go back to Nick. You know what I mean? So it's kind of that whole thing where he probably never got over her. So this might bond them together, too.
What'd you think of Katie and Brad sleeping together on As the World Turns?
Oh, that was so out of the blue.
No, I mean, it wasn't. It's been coming. No.
Well, I meant
been
for
coming
her obsession
for
about having the baby. I know that those two would probably hook up, but it was all about Katie's all of a sudden wanting to have a baby. That's what I meant was that that
she's
part
she's been
it,
wanting though, to have a baby for a while.
I know, but it just became.
I mean, if you think back to when Mike was still here, when she and Henry were flirting, when her and Jack first hooked up, they were discussing them having children. She's wanted to have a kid for ages.
Yeah, but I meant in this respect that one day I'm watching it and she's talking about how she can't go back to Jack, and then the next day she wants to have a baby again.
Well, so she finally decided that she wasn't going to let Jack control her life like he has been for the last.
She shouldn't have it with Brad. That's just stupid.
No, I think it's brilliant.
I don't. It's soapy.
Brad and Katie are destined to be together. They had them. There's a reason why those two were at the Emmys together presenting. There's a reason why it's Brad and Katie, Brad and Katie, Brad and Katie. These two are ending up together. Jack is a speed bump on the way to that. I mean, I've never believed for 1 minute that Jack and Katie are supposed to be together, because I always knew that once Austin Peck arrived on the show, he was supposed to fill the hole left by, and not a very big hole, shall we say, left by the actor who plays Mike.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I can buy that. I could totally see Katie and Brad hooking up, but I don't think there's anybody that would think that Katie and Jack were ever meant to be a long-haul couple. So I agree with you on the point that Katie and Brad – and actually, they're good together.
Oh, they're brilliant together.
Like together. But I just think the way that she was all of a sudden like, all right, I'm not over Jack, and I have all this turmoil in my life. I think I want to have a baby right now. Let's go. That's the only thing that I was really hung up on.
Well,
and what I have no idea what side of the fence Vienna's on. I mean,
Vienna
all about Jack and Katie. She hated Katie. Now she likes Katie.
I think
she didn't like Jack. Now she didn't like Brad. Now she likes Brad. I wish she would just make up her mind who she
likes.
Well,
it's all part of Vienna's personality of being an heiress type character. She's a little bit more lightweighted, but I think what's happened is she's bonded with Katie. Now Katie's her girl, and so she wants what Katie wants to make her happy. So if Katie wants a child and she knows that Jack is bad for her, then she's going to root for Katie and Brad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's the most fascinating thing to me on As the World Turns besides Luke and Noah these days?
What?
Chris Hughes versus his dad.
I know, it's awesome.
The I'm loving their storyline. I love that the Hughes are back on the front burner as a couple. I'm glad that Chris is there. I'm not so – I don't believe that him and Emily are going to be together much longer. But I love the dynamic of son versus father and youth versus wisdom, age and wisdom. My only concern in this whole thing is they better not kill him off. If they kill him off, I will be pissed.
Yeah, I would be too. And my concern also is that Chris is going to turn into like another Adam where they're going to totally trash the character just to have some kind of conflict. But I think I'm glad that we're talking about this because I wanted to talk about it too. I think that Chris has and Emily's return has really sparked some interesting stuff. Emily and Kim were snarking at each other, which calls
it's
on
his always story. Great.
Bob and Chris, actually, their headbutting also is kind of a revisit to their past because there's a lot of times when Chris and Bob didn't get along with the last Chris when he was in the hospital, they used to butt heads about stuff too.
Yeah, but is it
so,
just me or
not
is this
completely out of character?
Is it just me or is this character or is this Chris more going for the jugular than the previous Chris's have?
Oh, he's definitely a lot more aggressive. And that's why I'm a little, you know, hopeful that I'm hoping that they're not going to totally trash him.
Well,
I think it's a really good storyline because you have that other guy, Eli, who's Meg's friend, who went to Rosanna and tried to blackmail money from her to keep the paternity.
Okay, I do not want to discuss Meg, Craig, Paul, and Ryan. Just do not.
I will say one thing. Can I? I'm just going to say one thing about Rosanna. Okay, why is she awake? I thought she was gone. She was going to go into a coma and leave. Now she was awake and leaving the hospital. The last time I saw her.
No, there's a pivotal moment coming up, supposedly, but I don't want to discuss them because they're just ugh.
I was hoping she changed her mind.
Well, it's not her changing their mind. It's them letting her go. On a somewhat more interesting note, rumor has it that Dusty's going to bite the bullet.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
That sucks. I mean, I like it when Dusty has somebody to fight, and he's like in the fight with Chris right now, so it actually, Dusty's become a little bit more interesting.
See, to me, Chris or Dusty is the exact same type of character as Paul is on Young and the Restless, as Aiden is on As the World or on All My Children, as some of these other characters are.
But like a filler character?
He's a filler character who has connections to everybody, if that makes sense.
Right.
And
yeah,
to me,
no,
it's
it does.
Like,
it makes perfect sense.
But yet, he never gels with anyone. Okay, I realize that they're trying to pull on the Dusty Lily stuff. Do not see the chemistry. That's just my personal opinion. Of course, I'm more interested in him being with Lily than
Holden
at the moment because of the fact that Holden's just being a royal ass. But I never really liked him with Emily. The only person who he's ever been semi-good with was Lucy. Ever. And that was the first Lucy.
I didn't like him with Lucy.
To me, the only one he was ever semi-good with was Lucy. I did not like him with the second Lucy. I did not like him with Jennifer. The only thing that made him somewhat redeemable with Jennifer was the fact that she died and that you had to see his grief. Other than that, when she was alive, I didn't enjoy them. Or when he first arrived in town and was working with Barbara, loved that part. He started off with so much potential.
Yeah, he did. He was wasted. But you remember, he came on as a gangster. More or less, he was connected, and he was always into trouble with the mob and stuff. So,
well, and I think
he was a good character at one point, but they brought him back as a bad guy.
I think the other part about it is the fact that they took and when they got rid of Rose, Rose was sort of his counterpart, and when they got rid of Rose, that was sort of the writing on the wall.
Yeah, and that's too. And I still wish they had never gotten rid of her because she had good chemistry with everybody. I mean, she was good with Paul.
And it was a great character. I never understood why they killed her off, other than the fact that maybe it was the fact that they were paying Martha Byrne too much money because they had her on every day.
It's also interesting that Lily and Dusty being together has put Lucinda in the mix for a short time, but it also creates that dynamic with Emily and Chris and Dusty and Lily, which is sort of a quad that you wouldn't have put together So actually putting, even though you may not be interested completely in the Dusty Lily thing, it's not unlikely for her to turn to him.
Oh,
what
no,
she's
it's
doing
not.
Is sort of,
it's in character.
So in that respect, it is. And she's having fun. I mean, she wasn't getting any from Holden for a long time, but so now she's having a good time. But I don't know. It seems like a lot of their stories have kind of related to their past now. You've got the Hugheses back. You've got Dusty and Lily kind of hooking up. And
I'd just like to see more of Emily's
Hughes and
mother.
Stewart with, yeah, I would love to see that too. I know. I wonder where she is. I'd love to see Kim and Susan going at it now. That would be awesome.
Before we move on to Young and the Restless, one last thing. What do you think of this whole thing with Parker rooting for Katie and Jack?
I don't know. I think he's doing it because he's pissed at his mother.
Well, and I understand that.
He's
just
disappointed at her in her, and he's just trying to make Jack happy. Now, why he had this all of a sudden this big turnaround? And he's calling him dad, and he was adopted in a day without any kind of – I think that would have been a better story.
This whole thing is the sleaziest thing that they could have personally done, in my opinion, because A, you have Carly, who is the only living relative left of Parker's. She is his mother. Jack did not have the legal ability to adopt the child without her present and her signing papers. There's
exactly.
No way that a kid that's a minor can go and get himself a father just because he wants one.
Right. And then the other thing is that it would have been a better story if Jack and Carly were together and he was going to adopt them. And then maybe if they were going to go through a divorce that Carly said, no, you can't. And that could have created a story too. But all of a sudden Parker comes on, he's talking about the adoption. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about?
Well, I'm just concerned that he's going to be turned into the Days of Our Lives Will equivalent, where Will was basically always bashing Sammy because he was so disappointed in his mother.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
true.
And I just like don't want to see that in Parker. I mean, Parker is Hal's son.
Right.
We expect better storylines than this out of Hal's son. Just that's
right.
My opinion.
And he has every right to be a rebellious teenager.
Oh, most definitely. But
you know, he's lost his parents and his mother is a liar. And I just think that his life, the way it's going, it's completely legitimate if he just turns out to be a bad kid for a while.
I just don't understand his love for Katie. That's what I don't understand.
Not sure
because
either, unless he's
most
got
kids,
a mommy looking for a mommy or something. I don't
most
know.
Most kids his age would be rebellious against a new parent. So it doesn't make sense to me why he's just in love with her. Moving on to Young and the Restless. Victoria is still in a coma.
And so am I.
Yeah.
It's been like,
Victor signed.
Okay, let's spend a whole week moving her to the house.
Victor, she's going to be in a coma the entire time that they're on maternity leave. Victor signed the papers to basically foreclose on Nikki's loan, which is going to do Nikki in.
Right.
Victor is acting like a spoiled little brat.
He is, yes. Nothing.
Nick and Phyllis need to be broken up ASAP because they're just boring, more boring than heck. The only good part about this, and I know you may not agree, but Gloria is getting her comeuppance. And Mr. Bardwell is basically, from the previews, going to force her to marry him, and that's how he's going to steal the fortune back.
I know. Well, I hope through all this she's going to end up without a penny, but that won't happen.
That won't happen because this is what I think the writers have done. The writers have set it up so that she will lose her fortune to
right.
Bardwell,
yes.
Just in time to get it back from John Abbott.
Right, which is completely bullshit.
Well, for you, but I love it. But at the same time, for those of you who hate Gloria, get to see her hung out to dry because of the fact that she's finally getting called on her crap. So you should be very excited about that.
I am very excited about it. I'm really glad that she's finally getting it, but I just don't feel like – I still feel like it's at the expense of making Jack look bad, and I hate that because I don't think what Jack did – wait. I'm just going to say it because we've never talked about this. I don't think Jack did anything any different than a man or a woman would do in the same situation with a Viper new spouse. They would always try to protect their fortune, always try to protect their family. So it's not not unlikely or out of the ordinary that Jack would do what he did to get his dad to sign that will. And what he did was perfectly legal. His father signed it, so that's it.
You're glossing over a few important key facts here. One, the first of which is when John was in his right mind, he asked for the will and the money to go to Gloria. Once Jack realized that his dad was suffering from dementia, he influenced him and his will and changed it. Just because John signed it, he did it basically under duress because Jack did it while he was in delusions, believing that his other wife or woman from years ago was around. The other thing that you glossed over is the fact that, I mean, I can understand the whole will thing, but Jack didn't even let her go to the funeral of her husband. That's number
two.
That
is perfectly in character. That is something that Jack would do.
He was
angry with her. He did not want her at the funeral. And you know there are families that
may be character.
That
may be in character for Jack. But there's no denying that's an absolutely crummy thing to do to someone who has lost someone. The other thing is that he has basically gotten himself in trouble because of what he did with Jimin. It's not Gloria's fault that he did that with Jimin, other than the poisoning of the cream. But the poisoning of the cream, that could have been worked out without Jack being involved.
Well, I don't deny that he did the wrong thing with – he did all the wrong things for the right reason.
Basically.
You know what I'm saying? Especially when it came to the, you know, setting up the phony – Chabot with Jimin. That was because he was just trying to keep the company going. I think it's perfectly normal for those two to have that animosity because a lot of times most people wouldn't appreciate a young new stepmother.
Oh, I completely understand why they have the animosity. I totally agree with you on that. I'm just saying all of those of you who are Gloria haters – seem to overlook the fact that Jack has done some very dirty things of his own. That's all.
Right,
I'm saying.
But I don't hate her. I don't hate her. I just
a lot of people do.
And that's true. But it seems like everything that is the way it's written is to make her look good and Jack look bad. Jack's never been a saint.
It's only
so that's how I always look at it. I just see her as always getting one on Jack, and she's so smug about it. And I just it burns me to watch her sometimes. I can't stand it.
Here's the brilliance of the character.
The thing is, she's not going to fall. If she gets half of Jack's fortune, she's still walking away with millions of dollars. So what kind of comeuppance is that unless somebody actually turns in the face cream and she goes to jail for it?
Here's the brilliance of the character of Gloria. The brilliance of the core character of Gloria.
Enlighten me.
Is that people who like her root for her when she's winning. But at the same time, she's one of those characters that you root for when she's squirming. Like, there's some characters in daytime I don't like. I watch Sammy on Days of Our Lives. I enjoy her. I love her pretty much no matter what she does. But I do not enjoy watching her squirm at all. I do not like it because I always think that she's basically being written horribly when they do that and put her in those positions because they never make her mature. Gloria, on the other hand, is a character that you can take and you love her when she's doing stuff to other people, but you love it when she's getting her comeuppance because it's so much fun to watch her squirm. And so there aren't many characters in that. I think another character that I sort of would compare to her would be Kate Roberts on Days of Our Lives. I like Kate when she's squirming. I like Kate when she's manipulative. I just like that type of a character. So for me, I don't have a problem that she's going to be getting her comeuppance because I'm going to enjoy it either way. But any other thoughts on the ultra boring Young and the Restless?
No, and the fact that that was the most exciting thing going on just speaks a lot.
Yeah.
I just think it's been terrible.
Moving on to Guiding Light.
Mm.
Might I just say, I love the devil child. Love him, love him, love him.
Well, when I was podcasting with Lisa a few weeks ago, I mentioned that he looked like a kid that stepped off the Omen. Well, he was the kid from the Omen, Omen 2, which I didn't realize.
The remake.
So I thought that was pretty weird. But I loved it that the kid was sitting there admitting that he
killed his father.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Ed Boon goes splat in front of John. That was like, I don't get surprised on so
You didn't
often,
see that coming.
I did not see it coming.
Oh,
no.
Come on.
I thought it was going to happen. I thought he's going to toss that deck. He's going to get tossed off the balcony. But I just wasn't ready for it to happen the way that it did, like right in front of everybody. It still
see,
was
and
like,
I saw that coming from
moment.
A mile away.
Yeah, but it was still a cool moment. It
oh,
was just
totally.
One of those things. It was like, that was the best thing that's happened on this show in a long time.
It's right up there with Jackie going over the railing on Bold and the Beautiful. It was that great. The other thing that I'm loving about Guiding Light is Daniel Crossgrove as Bill. Loving him in his scenes. The stuff with him and Dinah are great. His some scenes with Lizzie are excellent. His scenes with Billy are excellent. The only thing that I think is terrible is that he's going to be sleeping with Ava. I don't understand Guiding Light.
Is that real?
Yeah, I don't understand Guiding Light. They destroy Josh and Cassie in favor of, or they destroy Reva and Josh in favor of Josh and Cassie and Reva and Jeffrey. Then they destroy Mallet and Dinah in favor of nothing. They destroy Gus and Harley in favor of Harley, Cyrus, Marina, and Gus and Natalia. And
which
now they're
got,
just
like completely confused and bored and
oh no kidding
through that too.
And then they are destroying Billy and Lizzie before it even starts by hooking him up with Ava. Who? Why is she there? Do we even care? No.
Right. Yeah. She's been around. She's been off the screen long enough that I haven't even really noticed that she's gone.
And in addition to not noticing it. Have you missed her? No.
No. Not at all.
Nope. And then we don't see enough of Alley-Oop.
No, that's for sure, too. They're like on one day a week, and that's about it.
Yep.
Did you ever see The Godfather?
I've seen... It's been a long
the
time.
End of it. Did you see the end of it? When
which,
Michael was
the first Godfather?
Yeah.
When it's been a long time ago.
He was at the christening, and he was saying all this stuff, and at the same time, all these other things were going on. That kind of reminded me of Josh's ordination. He was standing up there taking this vow, and then they would flash to some other thing going on, and then they would come back. So it kind of reminded me of The Godfather a little bit. And then the body came crashing down.
Reverend Josh, when he was referred to Reverend Josh today, he was like, you know, it's enough to turn off the television.
It's not working.
No. Well, moving on to Days of Our Lives. What do you think of that these days?
What do I think? I think since they've not talking about the Vendetta, it's improved immensely. I actually enjoy watching it. It's like a real soap opera now. Does that make sense?
Which parts are you like enjoying then?
I'm liking everybody trying to figure out who shot EJ. I mean, that part of it, you know, is good because you've got all these suspects. But it's also it's changed Marlena. She's got like an edge to her that she hasn't had, and she's awesome now. I love her. And then Kate is in the mix with Roman, and Roman's trying to protect Marlena. And I don't know. It's good. I mean, Belle and Marlena had a really good heart-to-heart.
And I missed that.
I know. It was great. And I'm not like a huge Belle fan. And even Philip and Kate were decent together. So they're putting people back together who are working around a soap style kind of like story as opposed to going for the big stuff with this Vendetta.
Do you think that might have something to do with Ed Scott coming over from Young and the Restless?
I suppose it's possible because I was wondering.
Because it's about now that his
just
stuff
kind of dropped it, don't you think?
I don't know that they've
now,
dropped
is the
it.
Vendetta over because Sammy and EJ are married? And
I don't
see it.
No, it's not over because the and Vendetta is going on through Marlena going after Stefano. I think that part of the stuff that you're seeing on screen now with things improving some on Days of Our Lives, it could be contributed to Ed Scott. Though one of the things that sort of surprised me to admit, while I do not like the rape storyline at all, I think it is just atrocious that they're raping so many women in one year on one show. It's just wrong on so many levels. I'm sort of liking the little southern sounding girl.
I'm not sure which one that is. I don't really watch a lot of that part.
I don't either, but the queen bee of the sorority, sort of liking her.
I'll watch her and see if I can, you know, get a vibe. But I really haven't watched a lot. And I think one thing I don't like about this show right now is that Max, again, is being stupid when his first thought is to bury the body instead of calling the police.
That's a Brady for you. I'm sorry, but the Brady men, let's look at the hereditary genes in this family. Bo, not the smartest tool in the shed. It takes hope to figure out things for him more often than not. Sean is just a plain old idiot. Roman has some sense to him. And Max, even though he's adopted, seems to have rubbed off whatever affected Bo's brains.
Chelsea's the kid of two cops. She should know that the first thing you don't do is bury a body in the basement. I mean,
okay,
she was not the child of two cops.
She's only been in the family for like 2 years. It's not like it was ingrained in her.
Okay, but still, she's surrounded by police people, and after 2 years, something's got to rub off on you. And one of them is, oh my God, I tried to fend this guy off in a rape, and he died. I think I'll bury him in the basement. Nobody will ever know about it. I hate these kind of things where they're like, the first thing they think of is to get rid of the body. It's like, no, try calling the police.
I just wish that we were seeing more of Nick and Chelsea and not having to worry about the whole sorority thing. I would love to see the actress who's the queen bee of the sorority be integrated into the soap outside of the sorority, and then us never ever have to think about it ever again.
Yeah, and she may. It may be something, you know, and this story is actually better than the one with Jeremy. So in that respect, it's
an improvement.
More interesting. Yeah, it's an improvement. But are Stephanie and Max a couple?
I don't know. I don't.
We're going?
I don't know. Like, I fast forward through so much.
I haven't seen, you mentioned his name a second ago. Nick.
Nick?
I haven't seen Nick.
I haven't either.
What's he doing?
Who knows? The last time I saw Nick was almost Belle and Sean's wedding. And might we say, the little strumpet that Belle is.
Yeah, how about that?
I'm really hoping that Chloe comes in and shakes some stuff up.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I said to Lisa that I thought that Belle was more interesting since she cheated on Sean with Philip and drew in Hope and Bo, who's like ready to crack. So in that respect, it's made it a better story because now other people know her secret, and it's going to be that much worse when Sean finds out about it.
Okay.
But he's so dense, he'll never figure it out for himself.
He'll have to catch him. There's no other way, or else Chloe will have to tell him, one of the two. Well, in conclusion, I wanted to ask you some of the exact same questions that I asked on the ABC podcast, because coming up next week on Tuesday, we are going to be, Lisa and I are going to be having our Best and Worst of 2007 episode. So as part of the prep for that, I figured I would find out what all the other contributors were thinking about this previous year. So, you have to be quick on your feet.
Quiz time. I'm not good at this. Okay, go ahead.
the five soaps we discussed, who is your favorite couple of 2007?
So far, I would have to say Luke and Noah.
Okay. Who were you most fascinated with? Who, what, or what storyline were you most fascinated with?
Wow, that's a good one. I was fascinated somewhat with Craig taking over Worldwide, but that didn't go anywhere.
Okay.
I was kind of hopeful that that might bring Lucinda back and kind of ignite the two of them. And I actually even thought for a while that Evan might be a plant that Lucinda put into that company.
I'm
not sure where that was going.
Putting that past her. I think that may be something that could be developed in the future.
Right.
What is the biggest horror of 2007 for you?
The biggest horror of 2007. I think probably the continued abuse that Carly has taken as a character, that she's shown no growth and that she continues to make asinine mistakes all in the name of love for Jack, who continually
is an idiot.
And tries to brush her off. I think she needs to grow up, suck it up, and move on.
Okay, so let's see if we can expand your horizons a little, because we've so far everything has come from As the World Turns.
Well, it's the one that I'm the most knowledgeable about.
But is 2007. This is not historically. This is 2007. Who is your hero in 2007?
I'll go with Jack Abbott. I think Jack Abbott's been very, very good to watch this year. I think he's been on the mark, and I think that he is always fighting for something. He may not go about it the right way, but I think he's always the good guy that always gets the shaft.
Last but not least, who is your least favorite character of 2007?
Jeremy is from Days of Our Lives.
Okay.
He would have to be the worst character that I've seen this year.
Be sure to tune in next week for Lisa's and I's Best and Worst of 2007 when we go through some of the normal categories as well as some of our more unorthodox categories. In the meantime, send your emails to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Write us a review in iTunes. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. Drop by our official forums at tvfanonline.com/forums. As always, we thank you for listening. We hope you will email us. And, Mike, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I hope we get to do this again sometime.
Until next time, folks, so long.
Bye-bye.